mentioned that we like new stuff. Remember I mentioned that last Wednesday night that we all... is there anybody here that would prefer to have old, dilapidated, rundown stuff? Okay, well, I figured not. So you'd say that we prefer new stuff. Even to the point, and I have some here, we buy air fresheners. It says on there, new car scent. So to encourage you tonight, if you're driving a clunker that's 100 years old, sniff this tonight and you'll be happy, all right? Just pretend you got a new car. Of course, they make these packages like you're going to steal them or something. Maybe somebody would, but I'll put one over here and you can pass it around. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to throw it at you. And then I'll give this to John and let him open this one up and pass it around this side. Now, we like new stuff. And I think one of the sweetest things about heaven, everything's new. Everything's new. And we're in this series. I didn't realize it was going to be a series, but it is a series that God led me to spend a little bit of more time on. We enjoy new stuff, and everything in heaven will be new. If you have your Bibles, Revelation 21, we're going to review a little bit, and then we're going to cover a little bit of new ground, and we're going to kind of focus in, if you will, using a microscope, focus in really tight on one specific thing that's going to be new in heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 1. The first part will be review, but we'll get to some new stuff too. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So if you look at that verse right there, we're going to have a brand new earth and brand new heavens above it. Pollution is a thing of the past. Diverting our rivers is a thing of the past. It's really going to be, as we talked about, it's really going to be a lot like the Garden of Eden. I mean, you think about it. I mean, you know, we're like, that crazy goofball Adam and Eve. They messed everything up for us. So you'd have done the same thing if you were there, because that's our nature, right? But a lot like the Garden of Eden. There won't be any multiflora rose. There'll be no briars or thorns. I think there'll be roses because they're pretty, but they won't have any thorns anymore. And I don't think there'll be any, as I said, any fleas or mosquitoes or anything like that. I think it's just be like the Garden of Eden down here on this earth. And as I've said quite often to you, I'm pretty excited about the new earth. I really am. I'm excited about the opportunity. I don't know why in the world God would make a new earth and then deprive us of the opportunity to enjoy the new earth. So, I mean, nothing is said that we're going to be going through the woods. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but I cannot help but believe that we will enjoy the new earth. And remember, I told y'all, this is kind of an informal series, that if you have a question as we go through there, you can raise your hand. And Tim assured me before the service, he'll be more than happy to answer it. So, what's that? You'll answer it next week. Second Thursday, okay. And then plus we have a Bible college student up there on the balcony. So if there's any really hard things, we can say, "Hey, Jason, what do you think?" But I am excited. I'm not a city slicker. I'm a country person. I enjoy the country more than I enjoy cities. I enjoy visiting cities, but I also enjoy leaving cities and getting back in the country or small town. So that's something, the new heaven and a new earth. We looked at last week. Secondly, it goes on to say, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." Isn't it interesting that it's called New Jerusalem? New Jerusalem. The emphasis in this word, new. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can anyone re-speak back to me what we talked about, the bride? What about a bride? That's exactly right. She said that like she took offense to that when I said that. Where are you putting up paint on the old barn? It's going to look good. you know, there's no such thing as an ugly bride. I'm not sure if I've ever seen an ugly bride because, you know, you get all dooted up. And basically, that's the way this this heaven is going to be, this new Jerusalem. It's coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Remember we said at least some thoughts on the new Jerusalem or heaven in relation to the new earth. Remember what we talked about position-wise? Do you remember? Anybody want to share that? I believe the new Jerusalem, remember, it's a massive, massive city. And I believe, and this is, again, open to debate. No one knows for sure. But since it mentions it coming out, coming down from God out of heaven, I believe that the new Jerusalem or heaven proper with the streets of gold and the pearly gates and all that, the mansions, I believe that will be suspended above the earth in some way. Now, again, I don't have chapter and verse for that. You can kind of imply it from this. But I believe we'll have access to both. I think our residence, our permanent residence, will be New Jerusalem. That's where the mansions are, and that's where we'll be staying. I'm excited about what God has prepared for us. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has prepared for us. It's beyond our comprehension. I don't know if you've ever seen something in particular like, wow. I know even in the buildings in Washington, D.C., we were bowled over at the immensity of some of the buildings and some of the grandeur, if you will, of some of these old buildings. We went to the Library of Congress and, of course, the Capitol building and things like that. And you're like, wow, this is pretty amazing. You know, all the marble and all the woodwork and all the, it's pretty amazing. But that's nothing compared to New Jerusalem. That's nothing compared to heaven. And then in verse 3, it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And I phrase this as my point number 3 from last week. We'll have a new interaction with God. We'll have a new interaction with God. It says that the tabernacle or the dwelling of God will be with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It seems like there's almost a little redundancy in that verse, I believe, to make the point that we're going to be with the God of the universe in this place called heaven. Now, you know, I talked about, you know that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer? Yeah. You remember that last verse? Can someone find the page number for that real quick? Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. 518, if you want to look there. And look at the last verse. I believe that's where that is. And you don't build your theology out of a hymn book, but a lot of the theology of the hymns that we sing are found in the Word of God. It says, page 92. Yeah, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Yep. I was like, I don't think I'm going to find it in that one. It says, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, may I thy consolation share. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed that in that song. It's basically saying, that's what we do, again, don't build our theology out of a hymn book, but I think the theology of that hymn is probably correct, because we will not have to communicate to God through the avenue of prayer that we have in this world. I mean, we're there with him, and yeah, there'll be a bunch of people, but God's God, he can handle it, don't you think? I don't know, all the ins and outs and how exactly all that'll work. But that's why I labeled it a new interaction with God. And then verse 4, this is the last point from last week. a new standard of living, a new standard of living. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. A new standard of living. Now, would you say that we have tears in this world? Yeah. Would you say that we have death in this world? Yeah. Do you think we have sorrow in this world? Do you think beyond tears that we actually have crying, like really out and out crying and sobbing and people that are hurting? And then lastly, do we have pain in this world? Yeah. It's amazing the standard of living that we will be moving up to. You know, you might say, well, I'd really like to move up the standard of living in this world. Well, just be patient. You may not have a mansion in this world, but you will have a mansion in heaven, and you'll have a brand new standard of living. I mean, it's mind-blowing, mind-boggling, whatever, beyond my comprehension. Compared to this world, we'll have that new standard of living. We'll never have to shed a tear. We'll never have to die. We'll never be sorry about anything, sorrowful. We'll never be crying, and we'll never have any pain. You know, you ought to heard the administrative board getting up from the table there just a little bit ago when we finished our meeting. It's like, I mean, you'd think we was in a, and I mean no disrespect to nursing homes, but you'd think we was in a nursing home getting up from the table or something. And we're like, yeah, you know, it's just kind of like, and that's pretty natural, right? I mean, I'm younger than some of you, about the same age as some of you. And I, you know, the aches and pains and getting up and when you work hard and the stiffness and all that, you know, you kind of when you get older, you start grunting and groaning more and you don't even pay attention to it. You really don't. I mean, it just comes a way of life. You all agree with that? But forget the grunts and the groans and the pain and all of that, because it's a whole new standard of living. And I don't know about you. You may not be excited about heaven, but I'm pretty excited about heaven. And I think every day it should motivate us to keep doing our part for the Lord, because we're only going to be here a little while. And then we're going to be with the Lord. Now the new stuff, we're just going to probably just look at one verse. And if I go short, I just go short and you'll just fall out of your seat and say, wow, what happened to the preacher? Is he feeling bad or what? But I just want to look at verse 5. Not only is there a new heaven and a new earth, not only is there a new Jerusalem or heaven, not only is there a new interaction with God, and not only is there a new standard of living, but according to verse 5, a new everything. A new everything. Notice what it says. And he that sat upon the throne said, what? Behold, I make all things new. Now, all means all, and that's all that it means, right? So all things new. So everything about our lives, everything that we will encounter, everything about our interactions with each other, about our interactions with God, is going to be new. I mean, think about that. Remember, I really believe that heaven, if Jesus went away some 2,000 years ago to prepare a place for us, as he says in John 14, you'd say, well, then it's 2,000 years old. No. I think with God, things don't quite work that way. I think it's all perpetually new. Now, that would be a good thing to come up with in this world, wouldn't it? You get you a new truck and, you know, 50 years down the road, there's no rust on it. There's no miles on it. There's no oil on the engine. You know, there's no rips in the seat. There's no, you know, nothing. The running board didn't fall off. You know, everything is just, but God, do you think God can handle that? And it says here, I make all things new. And then in case someone's reading this, I don't know. He goes on to explain it a little bit. Notice what he says. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Can I tell you, on a side note, everything in this book is true and faithful. You can trust it. If you can't trust this book, there's nothing you can trust. But I'm telling you, it is trustworthy. You may choose to trust it or not trust it, but the Word of God is always trustworthy. And when God's Word says, and he says, I make all things new, right? So God is saying, the Lord himself is saying, I make all things new. So I can sit back and say, yes, sir. I got it. I believe it. It's true. It's going to happen. All things new. You know, sometimes we might humanly push a reset button in our life, right? I'm going to turn over a new leaf. We do that, you know, new year sometimes. We make resolutions. But guess what? We're not made new at that point, are we? We're just like, I'm going to try to do better, right? But when God says, I make all things new, he's serious about it. And a new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new interaction with God, new standard of living, and a new everything. And I believe it will not get old. I mean, you check in heaven in a million years after we've been there a million years, everything will still be good. Everything will still be new. Because God is God. And see, a lot of times we get our theology all mixed up because we try to pretend like God is like us. Right? And we try to pretend like he's limited like we are. Now, I couldn't make a GMC pickup last for 50 years. Or, you know, I won't go anywhere with any jokes about any type of other cars. But let me tell you, when we do that, we try to give God human characteristics. We sell him short. So if God says, I'm going to create the world in 6 days, he did it in 6 days, right? And when God says, I'm going to make all things new, it's all things new, right? So I don't have to say, well, I just don't know if he can do it. I don't care what you think about it. When God's word says, it's true. And he says, it is true and faithful. So I can believe it. I can rest upon it. And guess what? I can look forward to it. But I thought about this, and I don't know why God put this thought on my brain. Probably sometimes you wonder why I have certain things on my brains too. I thought about this. I put a fair amount of thought into it. If everything is new, do you know that even the sounds that we hear will be new? The sounds that we hear will be new. And I thought about all the sounds, first of all, that we'll not hear in heaven or eternity. We will not hear. I may give you an idea for that. You know we'll never hear a police, an ambulance, or a fire truck siren? Some of you say siren. How many of you say siren? Okay, some people say siren. I might have at one point, but maybe I outgrew it. I don't know. But we'll not hear a fire hall alarm. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, in heaven, some things we'll not hear because everything is new. We'll not hear blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but our society is getting more and more vile. And it's amazing. It's amazing the things that you hear just by accident people say. It's like, I mean, you want to tell them, get you a bar of soap and clean your mouth out. Now, that might not be the safest thing to say to some of these adults or kids who are saying these things. But there'll be none of that. There'll be no cuss words in heaven. That'll be good. Now, some of you have recently or are currently working in places and they just let a rip. They just blankety, 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 blank. And you pretty much like, okay. You know, you don't want to hear it, but what can you do? You want to put your fingers in your ear. You won't have to put your fingers in your ear in heaven. Things that you'll not hear in heaven because everything is new, you're not going to hear anybody screaming in fear. You're not going to hear anybody screaming in fear. You're not going to hear anybody in the hospital saying, code blue. Actually, there'll be no hospitals in heaven. That's pretty good too, don't you think? You won't hear old Mr. So-and-so passed. And you won't hear any preachers get up and say, today we are gathered to honor the memory of, and then fill in the blank, will you? We won't hear any of that. I'm thankful for that. We're not going to hear any gunshots. There's not going to be any shooting unless God just lets us shoot on the new earth just for target practice. I doubt that, but, you know, no gunshots. There's no loud, hurt my ears car stereos with evil lyrics blasting. I mean, this was kind of new to us probably when we moved to Chattanooga, I'd say probably more in Chattanooga. You know, you pull up to the light, this car beside of you. Now, we kind of made a joke of it. We're kind of like, man, those people are so nice. They're sharing their music with us. And they'd come up, and you'd be there in your car with your windows rolled up. And you're listening to your good music, hopefully good godly Christian music, and all of a sudden, boom, chaka, boom, baka, boom, 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 and your car is vibrating like up and down. None of that in heaven. I promise you, there's none of that in heaven. And the lyrics that people get by with, my goodness. You go to a high school football game, and some of these places blast you out. You go to WVU game, football, basketball, it doesn't matter. You're going to get your ears insulted. Not in heaven. You're not going to hear sentences like this. I'll give you about 6 months to live. That's about the best we can do. You're not going to hear words like pornography or robbery or abuse or murder or divorce. You're not going to hear lies anymore. You're not going to hear a dentist drill for y'all that hate dentists. You're not going to hear a dentist drill anymore. You're not going to hear things like "I'm having a bad day," because we're not going to have any bad days. You're not going to hear statements like "What a terrible accident." You're not going to hear glass shattering. You're not even going to hear someone's nails on the chalkboard. You're not going to hear anything breaking. You're not going to hear a baby crying. You say, will there be babies in heaven? I don't really know. I don't know what age we'll be. I don't know. I mean, babies are awful sweet not to be in heaven, but, you know, or even little young men like Paul, right? So I don't know, but they're not going to be crying, because when they cry, that means they need something. And best I can figure out, we don't have any needs in heaven. Brother, can you spare a dime or a dollar today? Maybe $5 today. You will not be hearing that. You won't. This is good news for the administrative board. I remember when my mom's knees cracked like crazy. And so when she was cooking in the kitchen, and I'd still be in bed or something, and I hear her in there. I knew who it was, because you hear, there's not going to be any bones cracking. No moaning, groaning at all. Moaning in pain. You're not, John, I thought of this one for you. We're not going to hear, "The power is off again." There won't be any, and this is good too. Did you see that on Facebook? I'm sorry, but there's not going to be social media in heaven. You're not going to hear someone say, "Sure is getting dark early these days." Why is that? Why did I say that? Why is it not going to be getting dark early these days? There is no night. Jesus is the light. And it says specifically there's no night there. You'll not hear, it's been an awfully dry season. You won't hear anybody complaining about mowing grass. I think the earth will just be self-sustaining. I don't think we'll have to cut fields or anything. Unless God just wants us to. Words like war, conflict, even disagreement, gone. You know, sometimes in churches we even have disagreements, don't we? There won't be any of that in heaven. We're all on the same page, because we're all on God's page. We won't hear any raised, argumentative voices. We'll not hear sentences like, "Boy, what a long, boring sermon." But what will you hear in heaven? I thought about this a little bit. What will you hear in heaven? I think sometimes it's good just to ponder a little bit. You know, I think we'll hear words like, "Wow," when we see heaven or in heaven. And I think these things will be new. The more we're there, I think we'll... You know, everything is new, right? Perpetually new. All things are new. But I think as we experience more and more things in heaven and the new earth, we're like, wow. You know, I think there'll be some spectacular waterfalls on the new earth. Ryan's our waterfall guy. He likes hiking to waterfalls. And, you know, there's pretty good apps about it. You know, I forget what the exact one is that he goes to, but you can put in where you are and any waterfalls around here, and it'll give you directions and tell you a little bit about the waterfall. Blackwater Falls is quite impressive, don't you think? But I think that's nothing compared to what we'll see on the new earth. I think we'll hear things like, that's incredible. I think we'll hear words like amazing or awesome. But you know what? I think there'll be a whole lot of praise to God. I think there'll be a whole lot of singing to God. I'm going to hand these out to you. I probably should have already done that, perhaps. But if you'd take one and pass it around, that would be good. I'll give one to each side and give you one, John, and let Connie get this one going. It's just one page there. So, preacher, you've said all this stuff that will not be in heaven, that you'll not hear in heaven. But what in the world are you going to hear? Well, in New Jerusalem, or heaven proper, when you get that, I'll proceed. We're not going to look at it in detail, not get bogged down too much in the facts of what's going to happen in heaven, the sounds of heaven. The title of this comes from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, which I use a fair amount. If you look about halfway down, it looks like there's a 1 and then 16 to 18. That actually should be 11. So add another line there. It should be 11, chapter 11. Okay, thank you. So it's actually chapter 11, verses 16 to 18. If you look at this, it tells you the reference in Scripture. It tells you the one or ones giving the praise, and then the one or ones receiving the praise. And you see on the right-hand side, it's all either Christ, the Son, the Lamb, that is, or the Father, right? And these are things that are happening in heaven. Now, I realize that there are things that are happening at a specific time in heaven, like when the tribulation is going on the earth, right? And if you read through it, it mentions all the different tribulations that God, things that God, the wrath of God, I think is the word I'm looking for, that's poured out upon the earth. But then it mentions the ones giving the praise. And there's some debate on some of these things in particular. But everywhere you see 24 elders. The 24 elders. See them there several places. Then sometimes it says a great multitude, probably of which 24 elders were. Most people, most commentaries, most theologians believe, and I believe, the 24 elders represent church age Christians. That's what we are. So I bring that up to say, guess what? One thing we're going to hear a lot of in heaven is praise to our Father, praise to the Son, praise to the Lamb. I mean, we're going to spend a lot of our time. Now, a lot of things we don't know about heaven, but some things we do is we're going to be praising God throughout all the ages of time. Now, I'm not sure. Again, what part of a day? Well, we really won't have days in heaven. That's a man-made thing, right? Or God ordained it, but it's like we set up a 24-hour period. But we won't have to worry about 24-hour periods anymore. There's not going to be darkness. There's not going to be months, right? It's really going to be, but you say even 10,000, you know, maybe we'll praise him for the first 10,000 years. That's okay, because we got plenty of time left. And we'll want to praise him, right? And it's a good thing. I found this kind of interesting. When you look at Revelation, there's two instruments that are mentioned that you're going to hear in heaven. One of them is harps. You're going to hear harp music. Have you ever listened to someone who knows what they're doing playing a harp? It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's beautiful music. So that's one, and the other one is trumpet. And you know, because, again, during the tribulation period on the earth, you know, an angel would sound a trumpet and all this. But I imagine we're going to hear at least those two and probably other instruments in heaven, I would imagine. So we're going to be hearing a whole lot of praise to God, a whole lot of hallelujah, thank the Lord, praise you for all that you've done. And we'll hear music being played, good music, not headbanging music, but good music in heaven from the harps and the trumpets. And I'm excited about what we're going to hear in heaven. I'm excited about what we're not going to hear in heaven. But have you thought about, and this is the last little tangent, if you will, that we're going to talk about. What are we going to hear on the new earth? You know, if we're allowed to go to the new earth, which I don't know why we wouldn't be, but what are we going to hear on the new earth? Well, I think we're going to hear a lot of what we hear on this earth, but undisturbed. We're not going to have cell phones sounding an alarm or someone texting me or beep. So my phone makes some beeps. I'm not even quite sure why it's beeping at me. Does your phone do that sometimes? It's like, I don't know what that means, you know. But things interrupt. And again, back to the fire sirens and things like that. But on the earth, we're going to hear rivers flowing without interruption. And they're going to flow the way God wanted them to flow. We're going to hear birds chirping. We're going to hear Bob Whites again. we're going to hear, how many of you heard of Whippoorwill lately? Anybody heard of Whippoorwill? I know out in Doddridge County, in there's a Whippoorwill. I haven't heard him last, a week or two, but pretty close to where Dad lives. You can hear a Whippoorwill back on the back of the hill. But we're going to hear birds as they were meant to be heard without interruption, right? Without extinction, without elimination. I think that's going to be pretty cool in itself. And it put in a general way, we're just going to hear a lot of undisturbed nature sounds. That's going to be cool. Tonight, we've talked about the things that we're not going to hear because everything is new. That's the big point. Verse 5. If you're there and you say, man, I'm just tired of this old world. Well, sometimes we kind of get that way, don't we? We have a bad day. We hear bad news. Someone's mean to us, all kind of things. We don't feel too good, maybe physically. And we're like, oh, man, I'm just tired of this old world. The good news is, if you know Jesus, everything is going to be new. And he that sat upon the throne said, that's God himself, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I'm looking for the day. We just took that little tangent on what we're not going to hear, but everything is going to be new. And again, just like that new car scent, I believe some people get those, put them in their car and think, man, I know it's a 1975 Ford Pinto, but I'm going to make it smell like it's new. But in heaven, if there is a new house scent, if there is a new car scent, if there's a new scent at all, guess what? We're going to experience it. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for all the sounds I'm not going to hear. I'm thankful for what heaven's going to be like. Again, everything will be new. Wow. What's that? Now, Ken's putting conditions on God over here. It'd be all right. I think there'll be other instruments too. I think it's interesting that there's only two mentioned in Revelations, but I think there'll be a variety of instruments. But it's not going to be head-banging instruments. And believe me, the main part of it is going to be like it ought to be in worship today in our churches. The main part of it is the actual praise to God. Not the emotion that I can work up with bands or smoke or mirrors or whatever. It's all about God, like it should be here, but we know it's going to be right there. Amen? If you'd bow your head for just a moment. Would you just thank God for heaven? Would you just thank God that he's created a wonderful place called heaven? A wonderful place called the new earth. And would you just praise him and thank him for that? Secondly, would you thank him that everything there is going to be new. Everything there is going to be new. Would you just praise Him and thank Him for that? Would you thank Him for all the sounds that you're not going to hear in heaven? And would you thank Him for the future privilege of praising Him in heaven? Person to person, if you will, face to face, if you will, the opportunity to praise our God who is worthy of praise. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, should there be anyone here or anyone listening into our live stream who have never trusted the Lord as their Savior, they're not saved, let me encourage you, you don't know what you're missing. And you definitely don't know what you will miss in the future. If you leave this world without trusting the Lord, you're going to miss this wonderful heaven and instead be in a place of torment and torture called hell because you rejected Jesus. But if you're listening in tonight, it's not too late. You can call out to the Lord from a sincere heart, from a heart that means what it says. And you can call out to God and say, God, I believe Jesus died for me on the cross as your Son, God, and died and paid for my sins and resurrected back to life. I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me of all the things that I've done wrong. And you can say and mean it from your heart sincerely as a commitment to God. I confess Jesus as my Savior, as the one I'm going to follow, as the one that I'm going to let lead me in all of my life. You can do that right where you are, and you can be saved right where you are and be assured of this wonderful heaven that we've talked about tonight where everything is new. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. Or else we wouldn't have any idea what to expect in heaven. And I know you've not given us all the details, but Lord, you've given us just enough details. You've given us exactly what you want us to know about heaven. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you. We're excited about heaven. And Lord, we just thank you that you prepared us a place where we can spend all of eternity with you. We thank you again for the sounds we're not going to hear. We thank you that everything is new. We thank you for the things that we're going to hear, be able to praise you and worship you and enjoy even the new earth. We just thank you for that. Lord, just bless us, guide us, direct us. May we find encouragement. May we find maybe even challenge in this, Lord, that we're looking forward to heaven. Even though we might be drugged down a bit in this world, may it just help us want to get up and just keep on serving and even do better for you. We pray this in Jesus' name.